shirt this morning. Lord's given us a beautiful day. It's good to be in New York. We've looked forward to this meeting. We've looked forward to coming back here since we left in November after that wonderful anniversary celebration. That was great. And we're looking for God to do great and mighty things this week. Thank you, brother. Okay, so again, like the pastor said, pray for my wife. She woke up not feeling well today. And I'll tell you something, she's a good soldier. And if she could be here without getting worse or contaminating maybe you, she'd be here. She likes being in church. I'm glad about that, about her. When she says, I don't think I can make it, I don't question her at all. I don't wonder what her motives are. I know she wants to be here. So if you'd pray, just whatever it is, it'd pass quickly and she'd get feeling up to speed. I need her to take care of me. I'm lost. It's amazing I even made it over here today without her. So praise the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse 13. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning, and verse 13, Paul says this, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If there's one thing that I've realized, the longer I'm saved, and as precious loved ones and dear friends have gone on to be with the Lord, I find comfort in these words concerning them. I find comfort in the fact that I know that I'll be with them and with the Lord again forever. That is a blessing. Folks that don't have the Word of God, don't have a relationship with the Lord, don't have that time, that comfort when the rough times come, and they come. So I'm glad there's some things we can know this morning. Amen. He says in verse 13, and key to the passage, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's why he gave us the Bible. So we wouldn't have to be ignorant. People say, Brother Spurgeon, why do you see traveling around the country? Ignorant brethren, sometimes. Because of lack of relationship with the Word of God. Amen. There's some wonderful things in this book that God never intended to be secret. Amen. They're not secret. They're right there. But it goes on to say, concerning them which are asleep, that ye shall not, look what it said now, even as others which have no hope. Now, the passage is written to a New Testament church, just like we're meeting in today. Amen. It's written, it's doctrinally sound and appropriate and applicable to you and I this morning if you're saved. And the passage indicates that if you're saved, you've got something that other people don't have. Very simply, it's hope. Amen. And if you're saved near this morning, there was a time when you didn't have hope. It said in Ephesians 2 and 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Brother Dean said this morning he can remember what it was like to be lost, and I can too. And I tell you what, it's a scary thought. It didn't bother me then because I didn't know any better. But it's a scary thought now to think back that I spent almost 38 years in a world without God. Amen. And I'm glad I don't have to live in that world anymore. I'm glad today that I'm not without Christ, without God. I'm glad today that I don't fall into that category of those that have no hope. Amen. I'm going to preach this title this morning, There's Hope. Amen. And it's more than just a phrase. It's more than just a concept. Listen, if you're a child of God this morning, your hope has a name. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Amen.
I like that. I know this is going to be scary for some of you, but we're going to try. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's all I know. But that's true. Amen. I hope that's what your hope is built on this morning. Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Let me give you just a couple things this morning. Go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And we'll get there and then we'll pray again and try to get something from the passage today. Numbers 14. Father, we do come to you again in the name that is above every name. And Lord God, we are overjoyed that you cared enough about us to give your life for us. We thank you, Lord, for a place to meet and a reason to meet and a song to sing and a Bible to preach from and Spirit of God to submit to. And we just pray that at the end of the day our actions, our attitude would be pleasing in your sight. Meet with us, Lord, as only you can. We do acknowledge that we are needy people. But our presence here indicates we have an inkling of what we need. We need you. Father, please. We commit the service to you and admit that if anything good or right or acceptable is going to happen, it's going to be because you saw fit to meet with us as only you can. So we say that in the name of our Savior. We give the service to you and pray that if there's a soul in here today that doesn't belong to you, someone in our midst this morning that's made it into church that doesn't know their sins are forgiven, our prayer is that today they'll become a child of God. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. We pray for it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, there's hope this morning for several reasons. Let's look at verse 13, Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and verse, I think I have the wrong verse written down. I got something written down wrong. Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to read you a verse I have. I can't tell you where it is. That's not the... Well, it is the first time that's happened. I'm going to try to find it. But I cannot. It says Numbers somewhere. You'll have to trust me on that. I promise to get back with you on the appropriate scripture. That is going to bother me through this whole message. Amen. I hope it doesn't bother you to the point of distraction. Amen. Sometimes for the Lord to kick this thing out right, you know what he's got to do? He's got to humble you. Yeah, so I've had my turn. So if you've got a haughty spirit in here, be careful. You might trip down the stairs going out too. Amen. All right. So, thanks, Lord, I needed that. Amen. It says in Numbers somewhere, it says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Amen. Is it verse 14? Of what chapter? It's good to be with people that have their Bible with them. Did it say what I just said? That's a blessing. Okay, we have discovered the problem. That was in Exodus. You know, when it said stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, I'm thinking, what? Okay. Like I said, it's like with our music. My wife says, the songs are alphabetical. Yeah, well, obviously, Numbers doesn't start with an M. N. Okay? Let's read the verse again. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Moses says they're pastor, and he's going to God on their behalf. That's what pastors do. Amen. I know you think that we'd get into the ministry for the money, but it's really not the case. Amen. Not in our crowd anyway. And so he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's going to God on behalf of his people. He says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. And then he says this, according to the greatness of thy mercy. Now, the Lord knows he's great. And anything that you might acknowledge about him, he already knows it, but he does like it when we acknowledge his attributes. It's called worship. Amen. So Moses has got the burden to go to God on behalf of his flock, if you will, and he's asking for pardon. But he adds this to kind of remind God that you can do this because of the greatness of thy mercy. Amen. That's what pastors do. They try to, you know, flower it up a little bit because we need it. Amen. It says, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. I'm reminded that over there in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 2, the Bible says that God is rich in mercy. And I'll tell you something. If there's something that God needed to be rich in to forgive the likes of us this morning, it was mercy. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he's rich in mercy? Amen. The pastor says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. And I want you to look in verse 20. And now I'm even in Numbers with you. Amen. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. I have pardoned. It was that simple. Moses asked that God would pardon the iniquity of those people. And God said, okay, I'll do it. Listen, I just want to say this morning that there's hope for everybody in here because of his pardon. Go to Philippians chapter 3. I promise. Lord willing. There's hope this morning because of his pardon. Look with me in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, in a familiar passage, I hope, verse 13. Now you've got Paul writing to the church, and he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, I'm not claiming to know everything, but I know this. Look what it says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful, wonderful passage. My pastor told me many, many years ago now, David, don't ever let your defeats defeat you. Amen. Bible says a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Here's what Paul said to the New Testament believers out there. He said, forgetting that which is behind. I take great comfort from that verse. There's much that's been left behind. Amen. There's things that I'm glad that on the authority of the Bible that I've got permission to try to forget about. Because I can't do anything about them. There's no use letting them drag me down. And so he says this, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. That's what we need to do now. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's good preaching. That's a comfort to my heart. No matter the garbage that's in my memory, in my past, thank God. Thank God for the pardon. Now what's significant is that the guy that wrote this, the apostle to the Gentiles, praise the Lord, for the Apostle Paul, it's not just something the Lord gave him to say to us, and thank God it is Scripture. This guy knew something about it by experience. You know what? We can take the Word of God into a prison and tell people, and we'll have a problem sometimes connecting because they'll say, well, that's all well and good for you, but you don't understand where I've been. And then in a couple minutes, I explain to them that I do understand where they've been. It's called credibility. Listen, if you've got some credibility on a subject to back what you're saying, it helps. I just want to say that the man that said this, that wrote, forgetting that which is behind, you got to remember there was a time when his name wasn't Paul. There's a time when his Jewish name was Saul. There was a time when he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Listen, this is the guy. Listen, I believe in door-to-door visitation. Praise the Lord. If the Lord leads you so. But you got to understand something. According to the Word of God, door-to-door visitation was started by Saul, and it was in an effort to persecute and round up believers and imprison and torture them even unto death. Paul started door-to-door visitation. Amen. You're welcome. Now it's free. Chapter 9. First of all, at the end of chapter 7, it says that this man that wrote that was consenting under the stoning of Stephen. He didn't have any problem with that at all. Just kill him, cold blood, right in the street for preaching Jesus Christ. That is not going to be tolerated. And at the beginning of chapter 9, I'm telling you what, he got with the program and set out as his mission in life with the authority of the chief priests of Jerusalem to even go to other cities and persecute, prosecute, and execute believers in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in chapter 1 of verse 9 that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. That's what he lived for. And then the Lord got a hold of him just a couple verses later. And the Lord saved him. And the Lord revealed himself to him. And then the Lord called him into service. How can a guy that knows he was responsible for the torture and murder of Christians go on and preach for Jesus Christ? How could that guy, with the garbage in his head, with the regrets and the memories, how could he surrender his life and live for God and thereby instruct you and I to do it too? He's been there. He's got credibility. How was he able to do it? Why was he able to do it? I'm going to tell you why. He was pardoned. There's hope this morning for each and every one of us, regardless of what God's brought you through or saved you from, what horrible pit, what miry. Listen, if you're washed in the blood of Christ this morning, you've been pardoned. You can get up. You can go on for God. You can have victory through Jesus Christ because of His pardon. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And we'll read verse 6 and 7. Key for us this morning, because you're in a place where you're not only able to seek the Lord, you're encouraged to, and you've been encouraged to this morning. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Isn't that good? It gets better. And to our God, for He, look what it says, for He will abundantly pardon. I like that word. That's one of my favorite Bible words. Amen. Maybe it's because of my dealings with the Justice Department. There's a 3-point outline that starts with P. For some of you might be familiar with. One is probation. Then the other is parole. And by far the best of all is pardon. Amen. As you know, I spent 5 years on a pretty intense federal probation for crimes done in my old life. Amen. And I'll just sum it up for you. It was a life of restrictions and requirements and rules and regulations. And always the spirit of the thing was, if you do everything just right, according to what we tell you, you might get off of federal probation someday. And if you don't, we'll put you right in prison. That's what that's about. Reminds me of religion. That's what religion does. Gives you a bunch of rules and regulations and teaches you that if you do everything just right, maybe someday you'll get to get into heaven. And if you do something wrong, you'll end up in the prison house of hell. Boy, I'm glad I don't have religion this morning. I made it for 5 years, but I don't think I could go the rest of my life without. Amen. I'm glad I got a pardon. That's what you get when you get saved. God doesn't put you on probation. God doesn't give you a PO, parole officer. Amen? God gives you a pardon. Amen. I like it like this. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I like that. Amen. Some of you don't act like you like that. Maybe it's just me. Listen, when I got started on federal probation, I got, that was a shock that I didn't go to prison, even to me. So I'm up there in the federal building in Dayton, Ohio, and my probation officer, nice lady, she had this very important, very serious form with all the rules, and she explained to me, Mr. Spurgeon, you need to read this, you need to study this, and you need to sign this, with the understanding that if you violate anything on that page, you will be going back to federal prison. And I said, okay. And she slid it across the desk to me, and I sat there, and I skimmed it, you know, and I flipped it over, and I skimmed it, and I picked up a pen, and I signed it, slid it back, said, okay, now what? And that offended her. She said, Mr. Spurgeon, I fear that you're not taking this seriously enough. That's what she said. Amen. I said, what do you mean? She goes, if you violate one term, one condition of this probation, you'll be violated. And I said, well, I understand that. I understand that. I glanced over it. I didn't see anything on your list that even began to compare with the promises I made to the Lord Jesus Christ when He saved me. I don't anticipate having any problems with your probation. And she looked at me that day like she did many, many, many times again in the next 5 years, like, what is this guy talking about? 5 years on federal paper, for years reporting weekly. I knew every marshal, I knew every prosecutor, I knew every federal cop down at the metal detector. They knew me. Everybody in that building for 5 years got a track. I never was late. I never had one question, one glitch, let alone a violation. Not a question. I just went and did what I was supposed to do cheerfully. Amen. Because they didn't ask me. Listen, this world doesn't ask any of us anything that compares with what we owe Jesus Christ. We shouldn't have any problem down here. Amen. When I got a federal paper in November of 1996, I come out of a probation office and I got a standing ovation by a bunch of people that had been betting against me for 5 years. He can't keep this up. And I walked out and I just said, glory to God. It's all Him. I've been telling you. They gave me a piece of paper. Boy, any of you ever done time? I don't want to show hands. Any of you? Well, of course, you'd be my crowd. Come down front. If you ever got off probation or parole or something like that, there's a piece of paper releasing you from that disability that you want, and it's important. And I got one. I mean, it's on federal court paperwork. Beautiful. No wonder our taxes are so high. There's gold on the letter. Eagle and all this fancy stuff. Signed by a federal judge and congratulating me. And that's an important paper, and I wanted that paper. And if you gave me about 2 hours in my study somewhere back in Ohio, I could probably find it. It's so important. Say, didn't you frame it? No. I'm going to tell you why. I got something else that's so much more important than that. On November 30th, 1990, I got a divine pardon signed in blood by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm telling you this morning that there's hope, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, there's hope today because of His pardon. And if you don't have it, you need to get it. And you can get it. Amen. All right? Matthew 18, number 2. Say, how many points do you have? I'd never know for sure, but I wouldn't tell you anyway. You'd be counting. Matthew chapter 18. Now, every verse I call out the rest of the week, I'm going to second guess myself. Amen. I wonder if there's a larger print Bible. I don't know how it would be this big. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. It's okay, I'm just talking to myself while you're looking for that scripture. Matthew chapter 18, look with me in verse 20. Now the Lord's speaking. That's significant. Matter of fact, anytime the Lord speaks, that's significant. I don't know who E.F. Hutton is, but I tell you what, he doesn't have anything to say that's as important as what the Lord has to say. So you need to listen. Here's what he says, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Again, that's the Lord speaking. Where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name. Amen. Could I say this morning that there's hope because of His presence? Because of His presence, I like being in a place, amen, where the Lord promises to meet with you. Amen. I know it's not buildings. It doesn't say anytime you're meeting a church. It says where two or three are gathered in my name. But that's the purpose of assembling here this hour and this week. We're not here to make a show. We're not here to impress anybody. We're here to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet here in His name with a desire for Him to speak to our hearts. That's what Brother Dean's been saying. That's what Brother Veach has been saying. I hope that's your desire this week. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's not the one playing hard to get this morning. Amen. He says, hey, two or three. Let me see. One, two. Yep, we're good. Amen. Amen. We're gathered together in His name. I want to say that there's hope because of His presence. You know, I like church. I got a hold of this early on that when my church was assembling that I needed to be there. I got a hold of that. Nobody beat that into me. Amen. It just made sense. I gave every ounce of energy I had to the criminal motorcycle gangs for 15 years. It just made sense that I owed Jesus Christ every ounce of energy I had left. Amen. Just made sense to me. But I would say common sense, but that wouldn't be good. Common sense isn't common at all. Amen. I'd preach a meeting like this. It may be so this morning. Some of you I'm not going to see again. You go to church Sunday morning. Well, if that's where you are in your walk. We're going to pray that you progress. And you got a great time to progress this week, amen, and show up a couple extra days, amen. Because listen, there's hope this morning, but there's hope because of His presence. He promises that if you'll get where others are meeting in His name, He'll meet with you. There am I in the midst, amen. I just want to say again, I like church. I like going to church. I'm not the first one to leave, usually. I like church. I like, Christians aren't perfect, but it's the best crowd I ever run with. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, you have to like church. I said, why? They said, it's your job. Oh, well, I guess that helps. But I think you got it backwards. God let it be my job because I liked it. God, let it be my job because I was a faithful, cleaning the toilets, sweeping the fellowship hall, filling the baptistry. God, let it be my job because I went to prayer meeting and I went to the fellowships and I just thought, wow, this is cool. I wasn't a couch potato before God saved me. Why would I be a couch potato for Jesus? I might preach. I got to write that down. When are you going to steal that? I know. work on the outline for me. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I like being in a clean place with the lights on. The places I hung out with all and all those years, they weren't clean. They weren't bright. They didn't smell nice. Amen. The devil's music permeated the room. The Lord's name was taken in vain. I'm glad God saved me from that. Amen. I like being around God's people. But I'm going to tell you what, all that stuff, that is second compared to the best part about meeting like this. And it's Him. It's His presence. There's hope because of His presence. Amen. I travel around. I'm on a road 49 weeks in a year. And I'll tell you what a dead church is. I go to churches that make a lot of noise, and I go to churches where people don't say amen and don't, but they pay attention, they're listening, they're responding in their heart. Whether or not you shout, yell, say amen, or run the aisle doesn't have anything to do with what a dead church is. A definition of a dead church is a place where He's not there. That's what it is. See, and I've seen it all. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad that we have a promise from God that says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Amen. So if you none of you come the rest of the week, my wife, Lord willing, and brother and sister Veach, we're going to meet in Jesus' name. I hope you come too. We're going to have a time. Take your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1. There's hope because of His pardon. There's hope because of His presence as we gather together in His name. He promises to meet with us. But look what it says in verse 27 of Colossians 1. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, not only will He meet with us, thank God there's hope because of His presence when we gather together in His name, but listen, there's hope because of His presence, if you're saved, because of His presence inside of you. Amen. If you're a child of God, He's in there somewhere. Amen. It's His presence that bears witness to the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. Boy, I've been in places and had an opportunity to say something, to witness, and you know, I got verses that I committed to memory, and then I've been under preaching for 20 years. How many of you have been in a place where you had an opportunity to witness, and next thing you know, you're saying verses you didn't even know you knew? Amen. But because you're under the preaching of the Word of God, it goes in. Holy Spirit can bring it out. What you learn here is not in vain. Amen. It's His presence in you that tells you right from wrong. I didn't have any conscience. I didn't have any sense of right and wrong as a lost man in the motorcycle gangs, as a dope head and a drunk and a criminal. Whatever benefited me was right and nothing else mattered. Somebody said it to me like this, it's mind over matter. We don't mind because they don't matter. That's how I lived. Amen. Amen. Not so anymore. I've been in places and things took place and it was like, the Lord said, that ain't right. That ain't right. And I went, wow, where'd that still small voice come from? I thank God for it. Amen. And it's His presence in you that when the flesh does override the Spirit of God, and the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes the flesh wins. We're not perfect. We've got a spirit that is, we've got a soul that is, we've got a flesh that not only is it not saved, man, it's at war with everything godly. And sometimes the flesh wins. And it's His presence, if you're really saved, it's His presence within you that convicts your heart of behavior that's contrary to Him and gives you an opportunity to get it right. Thank God He made getting right with God as easy as He made getting saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the Lord, believe that the Lord hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But then it says in another place, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One has to do with salvation, the other has to do with daily living. And it all begins the same way, getting honest within your own spirit before God. That's what Bible Christianity is based on. It's just being honest with yourself and with God. When sin gets in and His presence within you, and don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Keep short accounts. When you know something's not right, get it right. And you can. Amen. There's hope because of His pardon. There's hope because of His presence. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and look in verse 15. Now look what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give an answer. Let me ask you something. Does anybody see any hope in you? I know. I praise the Lord, we're at church today, but what about where you work? What about where you go to school? What about where you live? What about at the family reunion? Does anybody see any difference? Anybody see anything change? Anybody see God in your life? I said in your life. Here's why I say that. I catch it out of my peripheral vision. I mean, you're tucked back in there pretty good, but every once in a while a car goes down Amboy Road. Well, it's 10 to 12. It's Sunday morning. Why are there cars on the road? They should be in church. Well, that's right. They should be somewhere. Somewhere where the Bible's taught. Somewhere where the Bible is believed. But you know what? Their only hope, those folks that are running around fishing, whatever people do around here during the day, their only hope is Jesus Christ in us. Amen. We're here getting our batteries recharged this morning. That's a weekly thing for a Christian. We're here with a supercharge this week. We're going to try to be here 6 days in a row. But the purpose is so that somebody out there, just like you were out there, I was out there. Amen. Somebody told me the truth. Somebody convinced me that it was real. Somebody had some hope in them and told me about it. There's hope. There's hope because of His presence as we meet in His name. There's hope because of His presence. You're sealed until the day of redemption if you're saved. And His presence in you and I is the only hope a lost and dying world's got. That's serious business. This is not a game. This is the most serious thing going on the planet. What goes on in our life and how seriously we take the Word of God is going to determine, well, first, where you spend eternity, and if you're saved, it's going to determine where somebody else does. Because the Lord wants to use us. That's why we're still here. Amen and amen. All right. So, their only hope is to see Christ in you and I. There's a lot of people out there with different opinions, different beliefs. It's amazing that many of the cults can quote their doctrine better than we can quote ours. Amen. There's people that will come door to door that we couldn't argue with. We couldn't refute. They're more sound and confident in the wrong beliefs than we are, and we believe the Bible. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't say that to get you. I didn't say that to send you to Bible school. I tell you that to tell you that there's something more important than being able to quote doctrine. You know what it is? People can argue everything, but nobody can argue the power of God that changes a human being's life. That's the difference. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Nobody can argue that. Nobody can play that very long. And I'm telling you what, you might have people that have been watching you, and I got people, I got relatives. 20 years I've been in church living for God, and they still don't believe it. Well, I pray that God will let me reach somebody else's relatives, and that He'll send somebody to mine that will believe it. But I'm going to tell you, no religion can change a man's heart, but Jesus Christ can. He changed mine. He didn't make a wimp out of me, but He changed my heart. Amen. All right, that's two down and one to go. There, I let the cat out of the bag. By now, you already realize there's at least three sub-points for every point. All right, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thankfully, I got all the scriptures right since that first one. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I like those adjectives. Those are superlative adjectives, I think. And if I'm wrong, don't correct me publicly, please. It's my wife's job. It says that by these, the what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, that about sums it up, doesn't it? You're saved, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. There's hope because of His pardon. There's hope because of His presence. And last of all, there's hope because of His promises. His promises. Exceeding great and precious. You know what? If you don't read your Bible, if you don't come where the Bible's taught and preached, you know what? You're missing out. You're missing out on the promise. You're going to miss the warnings, and that's why some of you have some of the problems you have. That's how it goes. But worse than that, you're going to miss out on some of the exceeding great and precious promises. That's what Brother Beach was talking about. We ask, but we ask amiss. We don't even comprehend who our God is and the love that He has for us and what He wants to do. Amen. He's made so many promises that he won't break them. Amen. The promises. We're talking about the Word of God. Romans 15 and verse 4 says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Thank God for His promises. Thank God that what we've got today isn't something dreamed up in the middle of the night in somebody's bedroom after they had too much pizza. I'm talking about there's religions that have a start no more scriptural than that. Thank God that what we have is based on the Word of God. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Regardless of what's going on, beloved, and it's already been said, there's things going on. There's things going on in your life. There's things going on in my life. On the temporal plane, everything is not always fine. We acknowledge that. But in that long view, it is well with my soul. I hope that's true for you. Amen? Now, there's so many promises in the Bible, this is going to take a long time. No, we'll cut to the chase, okay? Take your Bible, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll look at the most precious promise in the Word of God. John chapter 14 this morning. And let's begin in verse 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. I witnessed people say, well, I believe in God. I said, yeah, but I want to tell you about Jesus. Well, I don't need Jesus. I believe in God. So the Bible believes, or the devil believes in God. The Bible said the devils also believe and tremble. I run into people that say, I don't need what your religion. I believe in God. And they don't tremble. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'll tell you what, if you don't fear God, you're not very smart. Amen and amen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know about you. I've never lived in a mansion. I don't have much hopes of moving into one anytime soon. But I got one being prepared for me right now. Amen. I can live in a Winnebago on this side based on the promise that he went to prepare a place. Amen. I don't need a mansion. I'd live under a bridge in heaven. That'd be okay. Weather'd be perfect all the time, you know. Look at verse 3. And if I go, and he went, and prepare a place for you, and he is, look what it says. I will come again. It's that simple right there. That is the most precious promise in the Bible if you're saved. It says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, and saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, that answered his question. And then for hardheads like us, he adds, no man. You mark it down. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. There it is. He's coming back, and you're not going unless you go with him. And you ain't going with him unless your sins are under the blood and they've been forgiven, because you got a hold of this thing in your heart that what he did on the cross of Calvary, he did for you. That's the way I feel about it. He died for me. If you got it, I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you. But what he did on that cross, he did for Dave Spurgeon, because Dave Spurgeon needed it. That's how personal it ought to be. Amen. So there's hope because of the promise that if you're saved, amen, no matter what's going on down here, it's gonna end well. Because he's coming back. He's coming back. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask something this morning, First Bible. Are you? Are you looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? I mean, he's coming whether you are or not. Amen. If you're saved, you're going to go. And if you got things that you don't want to take to the judgment seat of Christ, you got a good opportunity this week to get them under the blood and go up with a clean slate. That's what he gives us these opportunities for. That's what he gives you an opportunity to do every time the Word of God's preached, every time an invitation's given, every time you have an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God. You got an opportunity to clean your slate. I fear that a lot of people have got a lot of things to answer for when they get to the other side. Doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. You're going to wish it wasn't that way when you see them. But it'll get real to you. If it ain't real to you yet, it's going to get real to you that day. That day you look him in the eye, that day you see those folks, that day you're going to realize you owe him. He wants you to give. He wants you to pay. He wants you to acknowledge willingly. But boy, there's a day coming we're all going to understand. We could have done more. We should have done more. We should have loved him more. Amen. He's coming back. It'd be good to be looking for him. It says this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Henceforth, Paul speaking, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Paul's going to get a crown of righteousness. And so can you. That'd be a cool thing to give back to the Lord in appreciation for what he did, wouldn't it be? Crown of righteousness. Amen. Amazing. I don't know. It boggles the mind that you and I could get anything that has to do with righteousness. Only righteousness I've got is was imputed to me by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But that Bible says if we'll look for his appearing, there's a reward in it. I mean, we're reward motivated, let's face it. I hope you're loving his appearing. I hope it crossed your mind that it could be today. M.R. DeHaan, preacher over in Grand Rapids, Michigan, back in the 60, the pastor of a big church back then, at his office, had an office there and on his desk, instead of a fancy plate or plaque or whatever you call it, with his name, Dr. DeHaan, and instead of all that and his PhD and all, it just had two words. And when he walked into his own office, when he opened the door and stepped in and looked at his desk and made his way around, he saw that, and it wasn't his name. He knew his name. You know what it said? Perhaps today. You know, every time that preacher reported for work, if he missed it because of the hustle and bustle of human life, boy, the first thing that greeted him when he walked into the office was that may your actions today be dictated by your acknowledgement that this may be the day you meet God. Boy, we do well. I went home right after I was here in November, and one of my daughters gave me a thing like that, a desk. It says, perhaps today, and it sits on my desk. Amen. Boy, I'd like to say I acknowledge it as often as I should. But I'm telling you something, beloved, we need to. You know why? He's coming back. He's coming back. That'd be great. That'd be great. That'd be great for me. I don't have any plans that wouldn't help, actually. Amen. I don't have any problems that wouldn't solve. Amen. How about you? Wouldn't that be good if Lord came back today? I'm talking to you saved people. Because I guarantee you lost people. If you're in here and you're not saved, it wouldn't be good, and you don't realize to what extent it wouldn't be good. But if you're saved in here, wouldn't that be great if Lord came back today? Or would that, just be honest, within your own spirit, or would that mess up some of your plans? Do you have some things planned in your future? Job, family, vacation, possession? Do you have something that you're thinking about more than, oh yeah, the Lord could come? Listen, he's not it shouldn't be an afterthought. I mean, I was preaching about the Lord coming back one time, and I had a couple sitting in the front row. They're young people in their early 20s, and boy and girl, they're sitting there together, and I just looked at them, and I said, wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back right now? And they looked at each other, and the look on their face was terror. And I thought, well, that's odd, and I went preaching anyway, and I got talking to them later. And you know, they were saved, and they were looking for, but they were engaged. And their wedding was in 2 weeks. And that explained what was going on in their mind when I said it, because they're thinking, he's waited this long? 2 more weeks, Lord. You know, I understand that. I understand it. We all get kind of goofy like that. Remember? Amen. And that's okay. But what I don't understand is people that have been brought up out of a horrible pit and out of miry clay like me, or somebody's been saved, been sitting in church 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years like some of you, and you got the idea that punching the time clock and putting in your time and going to church, that's all there is to this thing. I don't understand why people that have been saved a long time and have experienced a lot of His mercy aren't looking for Him to come. Now, if that's you this morning, you got a chance to repent of that. And you need to, because He's coming back. I'm going to tell you something. There's hope because of His pardon. There's hope because of His presence. There's hope because of His promises. And the most precious one is that He's coming back soon. Amen? That's the promise of the age. Now I'm going to close with the promise of the hour. Take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 6. Some of you have already renamed this message, The Day the Roast Burnt. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says this. I'll try to hurry. Never worked yet, but I'll try. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen, we preach that 9 times out of 10 negative. But aren't you glad it's not all negative? Aren't you glad that if you live for God, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit? Aren't you glad that the law of sowing and reaping also provide benefits if we'll live for God? Amen? Verse 9, the precious of the hour, or the promise of the hour. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Conditional. Saddest part about traveling, about evangelism. We travel around, we meet the cream of the crop. We meet God's people, folks that the Lord has reached way down and brought out, all the way out of folks, young people that have never experienced some of the garbage and filth and pollution of this world by the same grace that God used to bring us out. Amen. That's a better testimony than I got. Amen. We travel around and we get to know people and we get to love people. And we come back around and there's an empty seat where they once were. That's sad. That's a heartbreak. People just quit. People give up. People just faint. The collateral damage from that, it makes it even worse. Because when somebody throws in a towel and says, I'm tired of this living for God stuff, and everybody's prospering but me, and what difference does it make? You always end up taking somebody with you. And that is unacceptable. That's a violation of Scripture. You're not allowed to do that, and I see it done all the time, and it's sad. It's sad. So let me just say this, and we'll kick the meeting off with this message and this thought. First Bible, don't even think about fainting. Don't even think about quitting. Don't even let up. It's time to get busy. Amen. We're spiritually at the end of this thing. Amen. It's time to fight harder than ever. The devil is, you might have noticed. So it's time for us to give it everything we got and to run, you know. A runner, man, what does he do the last however many yards? He starts to sprint. And that's what we ought to be doing right now. Amen. We've been running the race with patience. I'll tell you what, the finish line is in sight. Why? Because he's coming back. Amen. And it's not time for us to it says faint. Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You'll reap good. You'll reap good due season. God's in charge of the timing. We're in charge of staying in the fight. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes it feels like it is. Sometimes it feels like we're beating our head against the wall. Sometimes it feels like we're not making any difference. Does it? It does to me sometimes. But I got a promise, see. I got a promise from God. It says, your labor not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I'm holding on to it. Amen. There's hope because of His pardon. There's hope because of His presence. And there's hope because of His promises. I hope you got it today. Hope you're saved today. Listen, I'll tell you why. If you're not, there's more at stake than a good life. There's more at stake than a good marriage. There's more at stake than going to heaven. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins. Keeps us out of hell. Boy, and if you're in here today and you're not saved, that book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How could he have made it any easier? I hope today's your day to meet Jesus Christ as Savior so you won't ever have to meet him as judge. In a moment, the pastor is going to come. He'll make that real clear for you, real simple for you. Even though it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it also says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into a lake of fire. Now, you know, you got A and B. I would choose A if I was you, if you're not saved here today. And you can. And you can. Jesus Christ made a way. We can have His presence, His pardon, His promises. I hope you got it. Let's stand, bow our heads, close our eyes. Pastor Veach, you come.
All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Great message this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. God's pardon.